In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One, two, three. Okay, we're covered. We have more than two or three gathered. I have been in services where we almost didn't have a quorum. But when we are gathered together as the church, it is a good and wonderful thing. Interestingly enough, this bit of Matthew is the only time in any of the four Gospels that the word church is used. Now, Paul uses the term in some of his letters, but in terms of the Gospels, this is it. The only time they mention church as something. And in fact, it's ecclesia is the word, and it means gathering. So when the gathering of people come together, because it really wasn't church per se in Jesus' lifetime. The church formed later. There are some who accuse Paul of creating the church and starting a new religion after Jesus. Such is not the case. Jesus was not starting a new religion. He was trying to bring to fulfillment what was already there. The fact that fallible human beings split it apart in just a few decades is part of the record of our humanity. But Jesus Christ brought a message of love and peace and caring and being together in community. Quite often, we like to think of church as being a family, and that's not a bad metaphor, but it's not a great one either if you think about it. It's kind of hard to join a family sometimes. You have to be asked in by marriage, or you have to be born into it. And families, let's face it, fight. You've all heard that some of the worst fights are family fights. That happens. But a community is different. A community has the love that families ideally have. But it's not exclusive. It's always looking for more. It's willing to bring in. It's willing to support. It's willing to love. Not that there won't be conflicts in a community. I mean, Jesus addresses that. There's going to be times when somebody sins against you. Somebody's going to do something that makes you upset. And so Jesus says, harbor that in your heart and just avoid them at the Kroger. No. He says, go to them. Tell them, look, you did this and it really hurt me. Can we figure this out? Now, I'm not saying I do this. I hate confrontation. I avoid it as much as I can. It's one of the big growing edges of my ministry as a priest. I don't like conflict. But, he's right. It's better to go and talk about it than just spend years avoiding somebody, sitting in a different pew or whatnot. Now, it may not work. It may be that the person doesn't want to acknowledge they wronged you or can't acknowledge it or whatever. Well, then it says take a couple others. Not to gang up on the person, but just so it can be seen. Look, we tried to work this out. It didn't happen. And here are witnesses to say this is what went on. And then have the whole church look at it. Can we bring this person in? Now, I don't like the idea of excluding anyone from church, although I have that right as your priest, page 409 in the Book of Common Prayer. If need be, I can bar you from communion. Keep that in mind. David Johnson, our former canon of the ordinary, said it's no coincidence that it's found on page 409 in the Book of Common Prayer. Sometimes you have to use formula 409 to clean things up. And if I do, I still have to write a letter to the bishop explaining my actions. It's a bit of a hassle, so you're probably safe. But sometimes it is necessary to separate out from a group in order for the community to go on together in harmony and peace. And even then, the goal is reconciliation. Our mission is to draw all people to the love of Christ. That's the very existence of a church. It is our mission as the body of Christ, not to weed out, not to sort through, but to gather in. Bring them in. Make a place for people. Provide a harbor from the storms. We all face storms. We all need a place where we're safe. Thankfully, I think for most of us, we do find that in our families. But even if you can't find it there, this is the place. We should be able to come here and know that we are loved, that we are cared for, that we are respected. And it's our job, it's our duty, it's our commandment as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to do everything in our power to make that a reality in everyone's life. It's no small thing to be a follower of Christ. And even though Christ seems to lay out very simple step-by-step instructions here, this is not easy. It's not easy to tell someone, "You've hurt me." It's not easy to go to someone and say, "I realize I've hurt you. Forgive me." We don't like to admit that we're wrong. We want to be certain that we're right. We want to stand up for our what we believe in, no matter what effect that has on others. And that's not what we're called to do. We are called to stand up for the truth and for the love of God, but we are to be humble in doing that, to understand that it can be our fault that something is wrong. We have to take that into consideration. When he's writing to the Romans, St. Paul tells them that it all gets summed up in love your neighbor as yourself. All those 600 and some odd commandments given in the Old Testament, they all come down to one thing: love your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you won't commit murder, you won't commit adultery, you won't do these other things. Now, by and large, I think we find it fairly easy to avoid killing people. I mean, literally, we don't go out and shoot folks. But just because you don't kill someone, that doesn't mean you're a good person. It takes more than that. We are to live in community with one another, to be open and caring and honest with each other. And I pray to God that that's how you perceive me in my ministry here, that any one of you could come to me and say, "Hey, Brant, I got an issue with this," and not be afraid. I have yet to yell at anyone in my office. I haven't even been tempted, I will tell you. And that we should be able to do that every time with each other, because we're going to make mistakes. We are going to mess up. We are human beings. But we have forgiveness. We have love. God gives us God's love in abundance, unconditionally, offers it up to us. And in return, we receive that and share it with others. Because left to our own devices, we're not capable of living this way. We're just not wired that way as human beings. Theologically, we're tainted by sin. And yet, God's grace is greater than any sin. And as our Lord says, ask and God will do it for you. When we're earnestly seeking out the ability to love and comfort and forgive and live in community, God will give us the strength to do it. That's the promise of Jesus Christ himself. So we've got no excuse. We have to try. As hard as it is, and I know, trust me, I know, and I'm not perfect, and I'm not saying I do this, but we're called to do it. And that's the important thing to remember. There is a high standard to claim the name of Christ. May God give us the grace and the power and the Spirit to attain it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.